Hi, I'm Dr. Yael Respler. Welcome to this most amazing lecture from the OU. And I must say, I want to thank Frank Buchweitz, who really organized this whole thing and put it all together in spite of his own challenging difficulty. Mr. Buchweitz is amazing. And I think he's an inspiration to me because he teaches people that even if things don't go your way, do any of you know who Mr. Buchweitz is? Okay, Mr. Buchweitz is one of the founding people of the OU, one of the people who really runs the OU programming, these programs. And that's all. I don't know if he wants me to talk about him too much, but I could say he's gone through some personal issues. He's right now in a wheelchair. He's here today. And in spite of all adversity, Mr. Buchweitz keeps going. And I think that's the first thing we should all learn, that whatever Hashem hands us on a platter, we have to manage it somehow and work with it to the best of our ability. So thank you, Mr. Buchweitz, for inviting me. And thank you, Mr. Schreck, for inviting me and arranging this meeting. Okay, so we're going to start with my first piece. The father-in-law, he marries off his bas yechida, has this one child, an only child he marries off. Finally, this special, beautiful, stunning girl. I don't know if she was his or adopted, but it doesn't matter. A beautiful child that he raised, and he's a multi-millionaire. So, of course, he's going to pick the best guy. He thinks the best guy, right? We don't always know what looks best isn't always the best. But he's going to pick the best guy for his daughter, make her an amazing, lavish wedding. He wasn't a kollel guy. Send her on a honeymoon, comes back. There are people who do work, and it's fine, Baruch Hashem. And he says to him, you, my dear son-in-law, I'm not going to treat you like a son-in-law. I'm going to treat you like a son. So whatever is mine, 50% is yours. You know I only have this beautiful one child, this bas yechida. So whatever is mine is also going to be yours. So that means 50% of what I own is right now yours because you married my wonderful daughter. He says, that's so nice, Dad. That's really nice. He says, okay, I want you to get to know the business. I'd like you to walk around and get to know what's going on in my business, which means walking around, checking out the business, seeing what's going on. And he says, really? Okay, no problem, Dad, but your business is so big. You expect me to walk around your whole business, all those blocks? You know, it's blocks. He says, yeah, it would be nice. You go to see all the departments, you get to know what I'm doing. Okay, so he walks around and he says, this place is so many blocks. I have back problems, Dad. You expect me to walk around this whole place? My back is going to kill me. All right, so don't walk around. Go to the sales department. You know, get to know the people in sales, take them out, be with them a little bit. You know, in order to make a sale, you got to be friends, chit-chat, take them out for dinner. You know, you have an unlimited expense account. You can go to the most expensive Glatt Kosher restaurants, Prime Grill, no problem, every day. He says, okay, but you know I don't like chit-chat, Dad. You know, I'm a tokendick guy. I like to talk about important things. He's thinking, okay, but you're working for me. You got to chit-chat. You want to sell stuff, right? Okay. So maybe if you don't like sales and you don't want to walk around the whole building, go to the accounting department. The accounting department will give you a sense of what's, you know, really what I'm trying to do here. You'll have a full sense of my business. Well, Dad, I was never great in math, and math really gives me headaches. Starts thinking, what did I take myself here? I mean, I took this chassid. I thought he was tall, good-looking, amazing, great family, who knows what. Okay, money, no, sorry, I have the money. They don't need the money. But he's everything else, right? Well, maybe not. Anyway, so at the end, he says to him, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, my dear son-in-law, but you did say you were going to work for me, and I did offer you 50% of the business. And everything I'm offering you to do, you're telling me is too hard for you to do. So what would you like me to do? What would you like to do in the business? Well, he said, Dad, you did offer me 50% of the business. So buy me out. Okay. It's a joke. It really was a joke that, for once, I think I've told it many times. I do a lot of public speaking. But I think it's the first time I actually told it the way it should be told. I'm watching you so nice, and you all have derech eretz, really. I want to tell you, I learned something in life. When you go to a speech on Lashon Hara, everyone there probably never speaks a word of Lashon Hara. When you go to a speech about people trying to promote derech eretz in children, probably everything I'm going to teach you, you know already, and you do. Because those are it's true, it's really true. When you go to a speech on Derech Eretz or on Lashon Hara, or you go to a speech, any kind of speech that you go to, the people who are doing most of the stuff that you're teaching already know it. Because the people who should be sitting in this room wouldn't go to an OU conference are promoting Derech Eretz in children. Me? I'm the best. It's really true. The people who need the help never go for help. So I don't know any of you, but I'm willing to wager a bet that each one of you probably are going to practice most of the things I teach already. And maybe if you will learn the things, you will teach them to other people who hopefully will learn from you. Because that's my gut feeling from what I'm seeing. Okay. And so we'll begin. Often people come into my office and say, Dr. Respler, my child is so chutzpahdik. Okay, I'm listening. Your child is so chutzpahdik. And, of course, then I ask them, what do you have at home? Like, what do you have at home? So they begin listing. What do you mean, what I have at home? I'm contemporary. I'm with the program. I have a TV. I have a DVD. I have everything at home. I have the internet. I have everything you can imagine at home. What do you mean? I'm with the 20th century. What do you want me to go back in times? I said, okay, so you have everything. So what is your child exposed to? What means exposed to everything? I mean, what is it? He's exposed, and he has a we, also a we. I don't even know what this we is, but that's another thing. Honestly, I don't have any of these things in my home, so I'm not really up to date on the latest stuff. Maybe you'll correct me. I'm not, like one of my patients says to me, you're a great therapist, but technologically impaired. Okay. But it's not that I'm technologically impaired. It's that I don't want to live my life connected to a text and a cell phone and an email. I want to live my life talking to people like we used to do. Remember? We used to actually talk to people. Now you don't have to talk to anyone. I want to call someone up and say, how are you? Text me for the quickest response. I just learned how to text. Okay. Email me. Don't call me. I do not accept phone calls. Okay, fine. I do not accept phone calls. So I'm saying to you, I think that this is very important. Keep your houses kosher. Keep them kosher. I must tell you, keep them kosher because I think that we don't even know what we're bringing in, the outside influences that we're bringing into our children when we sit them in front of Chalila, a TV, really, which is an open place. Okay, a DVD, you'll say to me, especially if you put on chutzpah's mukhtar too, a DVD, I'm just kidding, a DVD, it depends. It could be a good DVD, it could be a kosher DVD, Uncle Maishi, whatever. That you have more control over. Internet, trust me, I have a block on my internet. They'll always tell me, Dr. Respa, I have a block. But those people who have a block are also brilliant enough to know how to get around that block. I'm not going to talk about the internet because I do have internet. My son cannot. I have a 10-year-old Salon Gior. I have 6 grandchildren. I have a Ben Zakunim. I'm trying to bring him up. Leah and Hara, well, I'm not going to talk about him. But I will tell you, he doesn't understand why someone else around the corner who's more Heimish, Hasidish, wonderful family, has access to the computer, and he does not. He does not. He has no access to our computer unless I am sitting in the room with him and I put it on, and he has to go out of the room when I put in the codes, and I sit right next to him and watch what we're going to do, maybe type up one of his reports. That's it. Okay, so enough of outside influences. All right, so you get my drift. I think be careful what you bring into your home. See your home as a mikdash ma'at. See your home as a place that's very important and a mikdash ma'at, and see your home as a valuable, unbelievable place where you're going to keep Kedusha in your home. And that doesn't mean, I'm not being a frumi now, okay? They'll say, oh, Dr. Espel, she lives in Borough Park, she's super frum. This has nothing to do with being frum. This is a value system. If you bring up your children by never spending time with them and sticking them in front of a TV or sticking them in front of a video or leaving them with outside help, I have full-time outside help. I really do. Full-time. Otherwise, I could never do the amount of things I do. She takes care of my... I'm a mashgiach at this point. She takes care of my chickens, cleaning my chickens, my chicken cutlets, cutting my vegetables. I cook, but not. I don't do too much. I supervise. It's like when you go away for Pesach, whatever. The actual food is not cooked by the cook. The cook supervises the people that work on him. I'm not on that level. I have one person, but I've trained her to cook, and I supervise her. And I will tell you, and she cleans my house, Baruch Hashem, but she is not raising my child. She's not raising my child, no. That is not her job. That is my job. Which means that if I go, it's a little challenging at my age. I'm going to say it on tape. I don't care. I am turning Bli Ayin Hara 56. I have 6 grandchildren, as I told you, and I'm trying to do the best job I can for this 10-year-old son of mine, which means not spoiling him and doing everything that I did with my other 3 children, Baruch Hashem, who I am very proud to be their mother. I wish I could be half of what they are. Okay, and I mean it. I'm not just saying this. Half of what my children are, I would be happy in terms of the values and the people they are. They're grown-ups. They're married. 2 of them are married. One's in Shidduchim. But I'm saying they're really, I wish I could be half of what they are. And my 10-year-old, I'm trying to do all the stuff I'm teaching you here. Okay, so let's start with the next point. I went the other day to a simcha, and I'm sitting at the simcha, and one of the young children takes his hand and puts it into the pickles, pulls out a whole bunch of pickles, and his mother says to him, I can't believe it, Shimmy. You're such a big fresser. Little fresser. You're such a little fresser. Not a big fresser. You're such a little fresser. And he's maybe 2.5, 3, and he turns to his mommy and so cute says to her, and mommy, you're a big fresser. Okay, you're laughing. It's not funny. That's where chutzpah begins. And this is a challenge. Your kid is so cute and says something chutzpahdik to you, and you find it so funny, you laugh. So what is the child hearing? I'm funny when I talk disrespectfully. I'm funny when I'm chutzpahdik. So let me be more chutzpahdik. Okay, so that's my first rule. First number one rule. You see your young child, the minute they start talking, I'm not talking about, even if they're barely talking, okay? You can teach Derech Eretz on the level. That's why I put this DVD out for young, young children. My first one was for teenagers. That was a bomb. It was too late. This one, Bli Ayin Hara, is still selling after 8 years. I'm not promoting my DVD. That's not why I came. I'm really trying to promote Derech Eretz, okay? I will tell you that you have to really model and think chutzpah begins at a young age. So the minute they start speaking, you will correct them. You will not say you're a little fresher to your child. You'll say, Zizkai, there's a lot of pickles and other people have to have a pickle too, Yingala, or whatever, if you want, whatever you want to call your son. So take one pickle, so there'll be other pickles left for other people. And that's chinuch. If you take one pickle and leave the rest of the pickles for other people, then everyone will be able to enjoy the pickles. Okay, I'm looking at the people falling asleep. I hope I'm not interesting. Okay, all right. The next thing I wanted to say to you is, so basically, we have to model the respect that we see. You have to speak respectfully to your child. When you speak respectfully to your child will speak respectfully to you. It's on? It's good?
But he's already done the act. He's already taken the handful of pickles.
Right. I just told you. He took the handful of pickles.
So now what do you do?
So you say to him, no, you let him take the handful of pickles. You don't embarrass him publicly. You do not scream at him because he took the handful of pickles. You whisper in his ears, my special neshama, my tired yingala, whatever language you want to say. You could say my special neshama or my special child, whatever you want to say it. If you're Hasidish, Litvish, Heimish, I don't know. I don't belong to any category. All right. So anyway, whatever you are, there's Erlich, you know. Anyway, so you, whatever you are, you just say to your child, I think that it, quietly, you do not embarrass him. You do not say publicly, you should not take all those pickles in front of everyone. Everyone's seeing you take those pickles. No, you don't do that because you are then doing the same thing that you don't want him to do. You are embarrassing him publicly. And I don't know if everyone understands Hebrew, but the person who publicly humiliates someone else is like killing a person. So you're humiliating your two-year-old, you're killing your two-year-old. You are. Because at two, he begins to learn midos. And how is he learning midos? From you. So what do you say? You let him take the pickles, he puts it on his plate, you would take, you don't even tell him then. If it's obvious, don't even embarrass him and tell him anything then. Don't say a word. You come home that night and cozy time before, as you're putting him to sleep, or maybe the next day because he's probably exhausted because you had to show up at this bar mitzvah because whoever would have killed you didn't understand that he goes to sleep at 8. And the bar mitzvah's till 11. But it's okay. You let him sleep late the next day or whatever. You'll rearrange his nap time. You say to, and he'll miss playgroup, it's okay. You say to him at a time where you're both relaxed in a very derech eretzic way, you say to this child, my tyrazine, my special neshama, my special son, yesterday when we were at the bar mitzvah, you took a whole handful of pickles. But maybe in the future, if we go to a simcha or any place, even if we eat at Tante Bella's house or wherever we're eating, you take one pickle, maybe Tanta Michal or Tanta, we'll have a more current name, right? whatever we're eating, wherever we're going, because you're so special, I love to take you with me every place, because how could I go without you, my special child? I'd love to go with you places, right? Love it. Anyway, anyway, enjoy it, especially because I can't get a babysitter at that point. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm on tape. Okay, anyway, so especially if we go someplace else, you take one pickle, right? And the rest of the pickles you leave for other people because other people like pickles too. And if it's a good idea, if you want, can't take it with the, it's hard for you to take it with a fork, so just ask mommy and she'll get you the pickle with the fork because it's sort of nicer to take the pickle with the fork than with your hands. Okay? Just want to teach you how to take pickles with a fork. And if they don't have a fork because they forgot to put it on the table, we can ask a waiter to bring a fork. Okay? We have solutions for all problems. But you got my drift, yes? All right. So basically, second thing, model respect. Speak respectfully to your child. The way you speak to your child is the way your child will speak to you. Is that correct? Tell me how often you feel someone screaming at you and yelling at you, or if you any of you were brought up in homes that would say, you're so chutzpahdik. Again, you're speaking to me with chutzpah. You have no derech eretz at all. You're such a chutzpahdik kid. And I'm sure you were brought up in homes like that because that's how we were all brought up. That was with trying to correct your chutzpah, right? What is a mother supposed to do? A patch. Shy. And if we were from the younger generation, the young ones didn't at least get a patch. They, instead of getting a patch, they got, maybe they took a parenting workshop, so hopefully they spoke to you. And maybe some of you were, you see the phones are going off, maybe some of you were brought up. And so if you were from the younger generation, but this was Derech Eretz, the phones went off and they walked out of the room. Did you notice? They didn't sit in the speech and pick up the phone. I must tell you, I thought this was tremendous Derech Eretz, which happens to me often. I'm speaking, and they're texting, and they're on the phone. And, you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable for a speaker when you're in front of an olam and you want to make a good impression. I'm also a person. and one person is falling asleep and the other person is texting and the third person is beeping and the third one's beeper is going off and the cell phone's ringing, you know, those beautiful rings, you know, they have all the tones and you think, what am I speaking? What am I doing here? Are they even? That's why I like to speak on Shabbos and Yontif. At least I get an edge. Okay. All right. Anyway. Like I was just saying how much derech eretz you had that you walked out with the... No, but you walked out with the cell phone. No, it's fine. Don't talk. You did the exact perfect thing. You were perfect. Excellent. Okay. Perfect. Couldn't be better. Okay. So you model the respect. I told you all the people who come to this speech don't really need it. But I'm just telling you. I told you. She knows that you shouldn't have a beeper and cell phone ringing in front of everybody. She knows this. She's this woman. She already knows what derech eretz means. Okay. All right, so so you model the respect, you speak respectfully to the child because the child will copy what you do. They will copy more what you do than what you say, okay? If you say to your child, don't be chutzpahdik, be good, and then you are chutzpahdik to your own mother, I hope I pass mommy, what? You are chutzpahdik to your own mother, seriously. And you talk disrespectfully to your own mother in the phone in front of your children. And you say to the child, you know, Bubby makes me nervous. I have to scream at her. She know how nerve-wracking she could be. She asks me the same questions 5 times. And she does. She does make you nervous. That's the nisayon of Kibbutz Av Em. Bubby makes you nervous. I was very impressed. I have a very close friend. And I must tell you, I always joke with her. She does not wear a shaytel, I do. But I tell her when we go up to Shemayim after 120 years, I will be down here waving up to her. And she says to me, what are you talking about, Yael? You know, you're more tzniyistic. My husband drives me crazy. You're more this, you're that. I said, who cares what I am? Your mother is challenging. She lives with you in your home. And you do everything possible to make her happy. She says, but you're also good to your mother. I said, but Baruch Hashem, my nisayon of Kibbutz Av Em is not like hers. It's not. And I'm not going to go on because I don't want to speak about you publicly. I don't want to embarrass you.
Must speak.
Okay, must speak, you see? Anyway, all right. All right, anyway, next. All right, so we're talking about speaking respectfully to a child. The child copies you. So if your mother does drive you crazy, this is your nisayon. Do not scream at your mother or father or even uncle or aunt or any older person or even any younger person. Don't scream. You know what? That is my tone. I really must tell you this is something I work on all my life. Because the nature of the human being, Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Menu Rav, the nature of the human being is to scream, right? The nature of the human being is to look at the negative, not the positive. That's how we are. So we all, no matter how amazing our homes are, and no matter what kind of wonderful, warm, loving home we come from, we have the challenge of screaming because our children know exactly what button to push. They do. They must be trained. They must have siyata d'shmaya. They know how to drive us crazy. And Hashem gives you the child who drives you the most crazy. Seriously. And then he sees what you're going to do with that child. That's your nisayon. But if you see it in yourself, and you know that this is a matana from Hashem, and this is your challenge, and my challenge is to bring up this child to the best of my ability, that's what you do. You take it. I know you have to be on a high madrega, but you have no. You have to, if you really believe that we're all puppets and that's the best way to, I wish I would have this kind of bitachon, I'm working on it. If you really believe we're all puppets in the hands of Hashem, and you believe there's a master plan, even for the most awful things that we have to experience in life, and we don't understand His plan, and don't start asking me because I don't either understand it, then you know that you have certain children that are challenging for whatever reason, and it's incumbent upon you to meet that challenge. Okay? I'm not going to get into challenging children now. I want to just give you how to prevent them from being challenging. Okay? Okay, so the next point I have. Speak respectfully to your spouse, husband or wife. Okay? Not just speaking to your husband respectfully. Husbands must speak to their wives respectfully. And why do I say both ways? Because children who are brought up in homes that the parents speak disrespectfully to each other, but still use every parenting technique under the sun. They're wonderful parents. I have such people. They read every latest parenting book. They know everything. But when in front of their children, they talk to each other with a lack of derech eretz. Children pick up everything. There is not one thing your child will not pick up. I'm telling you. I went to once a lecture, and I don't speak Yiddish very well, but I went to a Yiddish lecture, and I learned one thing that I will never forget. The mechanechet got up and said, Muster, muster, muster. I didn't even know what muster is. Muster means the example that you set for your children. And that's it. I could say that and my speech would be over, but I have a lot more to say. The example that you set for your children in the way you talk to other people, in the derech eretz you have for your own husband, in the derech eretz you have for other people, in the derech eretz you have for your parents, is more powerful than anything you tell them. You can teach by example. That's the most important thing. Therefore, the other day I went to a bar mitzvah. I'm at this bar mitzvah. Lavish, unbelievable bar mitzvah. Wasn't one of the Takanas deals. They didn't live in Brooklyn. They weren't part of the Aguda. I know it's the OU. But they weren't, it was an extremely lavish, beautiful, stunning bar mitzvah. Nothing was missing. I thought it was like a wedding. Seriously. They spent a lot of money on this bar mitzvah. And then it was in a very loving, warm home, wonderful family. Nothing dysfunctional about this home. Amazingly beautiful home. And the bar mitzvah boy gets up to speak. And he's one of seven children. They even have a beautiful big mishpacha. And Baruch Hashem, they're wealthy. And he stands up and he says in front of the whole olam, my mother, he speaks in English, my mother is an amazing mother, but she's brought us up terrifically, and she's in Akeres HaBayis, he's praising his mother, and she doesn't only have seven children, she has eight. The eighth is my father. And everyone's laughing. Now, I guarantee you the parents wrote the speech. Who writes the bar mitzvah speech? The kid writes it, the parents write it. And the place is rolling, and I am mortified. I'm mortified. I know that the parents wrote the speech. I know that he's saying what the parents told him to say, and everyone's chuckling, and I know the parents are with the program. They want to be his friend. Don't be with the program. I always told my kids, I am your friend. You can talk to me about any of your feelings, but I am your mother. And daddy, we still call him daddy, yeah, you saw, is your father. So derech eretz is the most important thing. It doesn't matter. We could be best friends. You could tell me all, I do cozy time with my children. All the years I did cozy time. Goes on forever. You could tell me every feeling under the sun, but you must respect me. And they did. Throughout the years, they told me all their feelings. Baruch Hashem, I have to this day, my married children are bringing up my grandchildren the way I brought them up. Baruch Hashem. And I will tell you that throughout the years, this was the thing. That my married children are bringing up their children the way I brought up my children. And I will tell you that the cozy time was where I felt I got the most out of my chinuch habanim. Cozy time does not have to be, it optimally is, well, after they take a shower, bath, or whatever, are in pajamas, and are trying to steal five more minutes of your time. Don't think of anything. Water, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I have to go to the bathroom, you name it. Let me tell you, that is your golden opportunity. Those 5 minutes, when they want to do anything, not to go to sleep. And we'll talk about why children are afraid to go to sleep, don't want to part from you. I'm not getting into that right now. Those 5 minutes is your opportunity to lie down next to your tire and neshama, right? You've got to think about that child like a diamond. Hashem gave you a diamond, and you're going to shine it well. That's exactly. He gave you a diamond. If he gave you $1 million, would you hand it to a non-Jewish person to take care of it and leave them a whole day with that $1 million and hope that you come home at night and that $1 million will still be there? Would you? That you interviewed for 5 minutes? I don't think so. But we do that with our children sometimes. We take people, I'm not saying that there are all kinds of help. We take people, we don't have references, we're desperate to go to work. I'm not blaming you. I'm in the same boat. Optimally, we should take from people. Optimally. It's not always possible. It's probably mostly impossible. But it's the optimal. One of my daughters had the ability to take a young from girl who was willing to do her childcare at the expense of having a messy house and having a cleaning woman come in, and she spoke to me and she spoke to her Rav and she said, you know what? This is a good investment. Yes, I'm going to pay her more money, and yes, my house will be more messy, but my children's neshamas will be better off, right? My children's neshamas will be shined properly, because in the morning she makes brachas with them, and when they eat, makes brachas with them, and she's not sitting on her iPhone or whatever phone. She is giving attention to those children. She's a very sincere, from young girl, and she takes the job seriously. And I told her, whatever it costs, I will help you, Mamala. You keep that babysitter. You keep her. She's worth her money in gold. Okay. So let's get back to this. So at this bar mitzvah, you understand what I'm trying to get across to you? Yes.
You were mortified because the son said about the father, he's a child?
Yes. He humiliated the father. The father who was paying for that whole bar mitzvah, the mother didn't work, was made to feel like he was nothing. And not only that, the father wrote the speech. Right. It's not that he did this to hurt the father. The father wrote the speech thinking it was cool. It was, we're chummy, we're friends, we're with the program, we're in this new generation, not like the Altaheim. You know, the Altaheim, I could never... Yes, the father could never speak like that to his own father. No. His own father would have given him two pech if he would talk like that in front of an oilam. He wouldn't dare. But he's with the program. But you know what? Maybe he should learn something from his older father, from the Altaheim. Because he should not be embarrassing his father in public. Does everyone agree with this? That you should not be embarrassing your parents in public? Yes. You do agree.
I mean, it was the father instilling that.
Exactly. So I would like none of you to do that with your own children. You do have children and grandchildren or whatever you have, and they will be speaking publicly at their own bar, bat mitzvahs or whatever. Do not encourage them to make a joke on your expense. Do you understand what really bothered me? I was the only person in that room that wasn't laughing. I think there were a few others, my kids, but all right. It wasn't funny. Do you really think it was funny?
No.
But it really was, the way he said it was so cute. It was meant to be a joke to lighten up the speech. You know, like you have openers. I do a lot of public speaking. You have openers, you have closers, you have way to keep the people not sleeping during your lecture. I don't know if I'm doing such a good job today. You have all kinds of things going on. It was a way to make the speech more entertaining. It was. But what was the bottom line? He spent maybe, I don't know how much money on that bar mitzvah. I think I could have made a bar mitzvah and two weddings. I'm not joking. Okay, it was a while ago. Now I guess he's part of the Takanas Island. But anyway, but I'm thinking, yes, go ahead.
If I can just say something, maybe the parents were trying to connect with the child. Maybe the child wanted the bar mitzvah to be more lively and not so...
I agree, but there are other jokes.
Right.
There are many jokes you could make. You could make a joke about the fact that anything, I'll give you my list, but not today. I have all the jokes in the world. And I ask my children, I'm very funny with them, trust me. We have a good time, and even my married children, we laugh, and we talk, and we go out, and we don't stop laughing. You could be very humorous with the child, or humorous with everyone. You do not have to hurt or embarrass another human being. That is not funny. It's called onas dvarim, onas dvarim, okay? I think I speak Ivrit here. My mother's Israeli. Onat Tvarim, which means, do you know what Onat Tvarim is? Onat Tvarim is hurtful speech. That falls under the category of Onat Tvarim. He got up and publicly humiliated his father. That falls under the category of onatz dvarim or onas dvarim, whatever community I'm supposed to be in, or einas dvarim, but it's okay. Next, I will tell you that you cannot encourage your child to be publicly chutzpahdik to you. That's what he's doing. There were other jokes they could have made to make to lighten up the speech. Come on, I could give you 100. Not a speech to humiliate the father. Okay, you got my points. Yes. Okay. Next thing I want to say is I was walking. I'm trying to explain you the concepts through stories. Now, why am I doing this? To keep you interested. Right? If I would just tell you don't do this, 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 and this, you would be out of here or you'd be all sleeping already. But I'm trying to entertain you, right? I'm trying to be exciting. In fact, I do have a part where I would like some of you who are budding actors and actresses, do we have any of those around here who will be brave enough to get up here? Nobody? Everyone's so quiet? And do some role plays? Nobody? You? Maybe. All right. You and I. Okay. Worst case. The guys... Okay. All right. Men usually are more or less shy. No other women? I wouldn't mind if she had a partner. Maybe you? Yeah. Okay. Okay, maybe. All right. So what we're going to do is just for 1 minute, I'll give you the script. Just look at it so I don't have to hit you the last minute. And you can look at the script before. And if you can, when you do the role plays, do it with expression. I would very much appreciate it. And... they are really role plays to illustrate exactly.
You want to sit here?
No. I want you to sit. Here, please, no offense. Please sit. Okay. Okay. My mother is a very.
No, I would sit down.
No, I know, Mommy, Ima. I know. It's just please sit, Ima. Okay. All right. Okay, so I think let's go on. All right, so you got the idea of why you should not publicly humiliate people, why, how you could be an example to your children. If you want to write them a speech to speak publicly, don't put yourself down. Don't teach them to put you down. No. Okay, now let's get to my next concept. Walking in the street. I am telling you everything in story-like form so that you will get it. You will get what I'm saying by example. I won't just preach at you because it's easier to digest it. So, the other day I'm walking in the street, and as I'm walking in the street, I meet a young child with a mother, and what I do, which is different than most other people, when a baby's born, instead of buying a gift for the baby, I buy a gift for the other children. They know I'm a little, psychology. So, I go out and buy, let's say someone on the block, the baby won't know the difference, has a baby, instead of buying an outfit for the baby that he'll never remember anyway because he spits up, I go after, Yael has her ideas. I bring gifts for the other children, the older ones, that are jealous that they had the baby, right? So it doesn't have to be super expensive. Whatever I'm going to spend on the baby, I'll spend on the older children. And get them something age appropriate and tell them, I know your little brother or little sister, I know them, they say, got a lot of presents now. And so I bought you a present because you're so lucky that you have a new little brother or little sister, right? That's my thinking. So I met one of these people on the Avila Baruch Hashem Akanayinahar, a very lively black with a lot of children. And we give a lot of presents, my husband and I, Baruch Hashem. And we're walking down the street. And she says to this her child, did you say thank you to Dr. Respel for that beautiful gift she bought you? And I'm ready to plot. If the earth could have swallowed me up at that point, I would have been happier. So I look at her and say, she's so cute. She thanked me already. You don't remember. When I gave it to her, she thanked me so nicely, like a real mitzvah girl. And I walk away and thinking, she doesn't get it. This woman doesn't get it. So why am I telling you this story? Because what happens, we all do it. We're walking with our children and we tell them, kiss Bubby, right in front of them. Don't forget to kiss Bubby. Did you say thank you? I didn't hear you say thank you. We say this in public. We humiliate them, right? What are we teaching them? We are doing onas dvarim to our own children. Did you understand what I'm saying? We are teaching them that it's okay if mommy or daddy embarrasses you in public. But you, my child, have to never embarrass me. So I think this is very important. Really try not to say, if the child misses a thank you, it's okay. It's better they forget to say thank you. Or if they're a very young child, whisper in their ear with a lot of respect, say thank you to Dr. Respler about the gift. And then they'll say it. Or if you know you're going to meet somebody and they have to say thank you, before you get to the place you're going, that's the best. Tell them, you remember when we go here, they bought you a gift, so remember to say thank you. Or the last thing is do nothing. Later, when you're in cozy time, tell them next time when we meet someone who gave you a gift, if you could remember, I know it's hard, Zeiskeit, say thank you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Any questions? Okay, so basically we're going to model the behavior we want. We're not going to embarrass our children in public. We are not going to let them embarrass us in public, correct? We're not going to let them speak inappropriately to us or encourage them to speak inappropriately to us publicly. And we're going to try not to have onas dvarim to anyone. Not to our parents, even if they make us nervous. Not to our in-laws, even if they make us nervous. Not to our grandparents, to any human being. If you decide you are going to speak with a nice tone to everyone you know, and you actually act that way, your children will end up copying you and speaking that way as grown-ups. I guarantee you. I could write you a written guarantee now. Money, no money back. I mean money back, whatever. A written guarantee. Seriously, this is the best. You know, people say I'm not a good salesperson, but I'm very good at selling my concepts. I will sell you my Derech Eretz concepts. I will sell you my Shalom Bayis concepts. That I could sell, because I believe in them very strongly. Okay, let's go on. I did do Baruch Hashem had the schus to do 95 parenting workshops. Right now, I am doing Shalom Bayis workshops because Baruch Hashem. So many people are doing parenting workshops, they don't need me anymore. I was sort of I did them 25 years ago when they weren't so in style. I even did one in New Square where I had 100 women in every class. This was maybe 20 years ago. And they brought a bus around and Baruch Hashem, they paid me well, I'm not complaining. And the women would come and listen to me teach Derech Eretz tips and Chinuch Habanim. Okay. So right now, let me start talking about ways to really work on your child. Let's say you gave me an excellent question. You said to me something like, what happens if the kid picks up the pickles? It's the same question. What happens? You say, okay, great, Dr. Respler, you have the most amazing ideas. But how am I going to change it? I already am screaming at my kids. I'm getting angry at my parents. Please shut off your phones. Please, please, please. I'll put them on vibrate. I'm getting angry at my parents publicly. I'm doing all these things. I never even dreamt they were wrong. Why would I think I was doing anything wrong? I treat my parents so well when they come. I serve them. I don't let them wash dishes. That's another thing I will tell you. If you have there's a mixed group here. But if you have an older parent who you mamish don't want to matriach, right? You don't want to bother that parent because you love that parent so much. Mommy, mommy, don't do it. I could do it myself. Do you know that's onas dvarim? Right? Because if mommy is older and she feels useless and she wants to wash those few dishes for you to feel important, don't tell her she can't do it. Let her wash the dishes and say, thank you so much, mommy, for helping me. I heard a beautiful story. I'm working on this onas dvarim. What somebody in the group told me, she said, you know what? That I have a great story, Yael, because this is in our Tehillim group. She told me, I have a great story, Yael, to tell you. My Bubby, Alas Shalom, this is an old story. We had an aunt, she wasn't the brightest aunt in the world, but she taught us what Derech Eretz and Chinuch really means. Derech Eretz, more than Chinuch. So my Bubby, every Erev Shabbos, wanted to cook farfel. She couldn't cook anymore. She was Kanayin Nahor, shouldn't be cooking. But she wanted to feel that she was making the farfel. And every Erev Shabbos, she would try to watch the farfel, my aunt, and whatever. Somehow, she burnt the farfel. And then she went to take a nap. So look what my aunt did. She remade the farfel, washed out the pot, served the farfel Friday night, and said to everyone, look what farfel Bubby made. Is that a good example? Look at Bubby's Fireful. And everyone said, wow, Bubby made this delicious Fireful. Tell me what a place she's building herself in Olam HaEmes, right? What a place she's building herself in Olam Haba by not doing Onas Tvarim. She could have said, I have to have, I think she was even a daughter-in-law, not a daughter. I have to have my mother-in-law here. She has to cook Erev Shabbos. She has to burn the Fireful. Then I have a burnt pot. Then she goes take a nap. I don't even have the Fireful. No, 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 no. She didn't do that. This woman was not a simple woman. I don't even know if she's alive anymore. She was a one of the tzaddikim. Really, in my opinion, she didn't teach psychology. I don't even know if she went to college. But she understood one thing. She understood the concept of making someone else feel important and making this Bubby feel that she's still useful. And she understood it without it taking any classes. And that's a very important concept. Okay, let's continue. I think that, oh yeah, so I was just telling you, you're listening to my little tips and you're saying, great, Dr. Espler, I have done every single thing, not everything, but a lot of the things you've told me I've already done wrong. I'm screaming at the kids. I'm humiliating them, not meaning to. I'm trying to mechanech them. I'm telling them how chutzpahdik they are a whole day, because they are. And I'm trying to say, please, please be, and sometimes I'm better. I say it nicely. Don't be chutzpahdik to mommy. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. As long as you say it nicely, you don't scream and humiliate. I'm not of those therapists who think kids should be able to do whatever they do. Opposite. Kids need limits. They need lots of limits. They need discipline. They need to know you're not their pal. They need to know you're their mother and they are the child. They need to know exactly what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. Yes?
Rashi says,
"By
Rav Shimon
Shlaga,
say it
louder, please."
I heard Rav Shimon Shlaga by the Mitzvah convention that Rashi says that by the snet.
Yes, go ahead.
Rashi says a parent is a chaver and a patron, and that's why Akash Baruch Hu came in Moshe Rabbeinu's father's voice.
Because I really, well, this is brilliant. I just want to understand what you're saying.
You are their friend, so how do you balance that?
You know, I'm not copying the Rashi says. A parent is, just say it again, I know Hebrew. Say it slow. A parent is a
chaver.
Yeah. And a what?
And a patron.
Patron meaning?
A protector.
A protector. Okay, I got it. So Rashi says a parent, I'm not as educated at UOC. I went to seminary, but this Rashi I don't remember. This is very good, this is brilliant. Okay, a chaver and a patron, which means a parent is a friend and an educator. Excellent. And yeah, so the snet, tie it into the snet.
He said he came in the voice of his father, so he shouldn't be frightened.
Right. Aha, brilliant.
So I don't interpret how much of a friend to be to your child.
Right.
Because it don't seem, from what I understood, yes, so much as a child, but you just have to have certain boundaries, right?
Right.
So when a child, even a teenager, my question is, wants to speak out, they lose their control, where do you draw the line, you know?
I'm getting to teenagers, but I want to explain what you said because I think it's brilliant, and I really appreciate you bringing the points up. Thank you so much. It's a real addition to my speech. What she's saying is that Rashi said that a parent is a protector and a friend. And when Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh, he came to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh. It says, Hasneh ba'er ba'esh v'hasneh einenu ukal. I was going to be a Chumash teacher, but okay, it didn't work out. Anyway, so I will tell you, when they say, Hasneh ba'er ba'esh v'hasneh einenu ukal, in other words, The fire in the snare, he came in the voice, you're saying, of a parent, not to frighten Moshe, correct? He came in the voice of a parent, not to frighten Moshe. His own parents, came in the voice of his own parents, right. Not to frighten Moshe, and yet he tried to protect Moshe. Hashem is the greatest parent of all, right? There are many things in the Torah. Obviously, we don't have the schus. Thank you so much. This is such a beautiful Dvar Torah. And thank you for bringing it to my attention. Really, it was really a schus for you to bring it to my lecture. I think that when a parent, it's true, where there's so many times that we could learn things. We're not in that madrega that Moshe Rabbeinu who spoke to Hashem, peh el peh. He spoke directly to Hashem. We don't have people, or we are not in that level. But Hashem really, if we look at the way Hashem teaches us, I mean, I'm not going to give you a speech, because I have a lot of stories of how Hashem teaches us the way we should treat our children, the way He treats us. And I think that's an excellent point, that the way we treat, he does, I mean, one thing, I could just say one thing, because I want to take it off. I teach this in my Shalom Bayis workshops, that Hashem changed the what Sarah said. When Sarah got pregnant, and she was really excited that she got pregnant at 90 years old. By the way, my husband said that in his speech when I gave birth to my son. I said, Morty, I wasn't 90. No, he was. He was upstairs. He said, well, Ya'el is like Sarah Imenu. I said, really? I heard this. She gave birth to our child. I figure it out. He's 10. She is like Sarah Imenu. Great. Anyway, but honestly, it's true. So Hashem really, I'm just saying, when he heard, when Sarah got pregnant, she said, how can I have a child? My husband is so old. Adoni Zaken. She didn't say, I'm so old. She said, how can I have a child for Adoni Zaken? Okay. 5 minutes. Okay. I didn't finish half the speech. I have 5 minutes. I can't believe it. I really want to get my concepts across, and I didn't even do the role plays. Okay, Va'adoni Zaken. Instead, she said, Va'ani Zakanti. You know what? I didn't realize how late we are. Okay. Okay, so bottom line is, let me go over my concepts. Okay, so we're going to have a private meeting with the children. We're going to say to our children always, I love you, I care about you. We're going to scream less and give them more love and attention. We're going to use the private word. This I didn't even get to. The private word. If we have we want to tell our children something not to do, say it. We have a make-believe word. They're having a tantrum or something. We don't want to embarrass them. Mr. Aladoni, Poladoni, Kotel, Florida. Let them pick the word. That private word stops. We're going to say erase. When we have a problem going on with our child, we're going to say, let's erase. We're going to start all over. We're going to say, Pasach Nishvadir. This does not become my special Nisar Shama child. We're going to say, always parents are going to show each other excellent derech eretz, excellent respect. A Torah Dik home, that's what we want. Quickly, do the role plays. We have 5 minutes. Okay, go ahead. Do it from there. Just say it. The role plays will actually... 1 minute. Just this role, because I have 5 minutes. The role plays will explain the concepts. Go. Stand up. Project your voices. Go ahead.
One of us will be the good
mom. Right, yes, yes.
Okay.
Could you stand here? Okay, no, they have 5 minutes. Go ahead. Just stand there. Go.
Yeah. Benjamin, you're so lazy. Get out of bed. How many times do you plan on missing Minyan this week? It's unbelievable that you have no questions for Danny.
Loud.
Go get up already.
Benjamin, honey, I know you're still tired, but please make me proud and get up for Minyan.
Okay, excellent. You see what she did, the difference? She said it in a very tough way. She said, Benjamin, honey, I know you're so tired, but please get up already. Go ahead, next, go. Just do the role, please.
Athena,
loud, and project.
Athena, you're the biggest breath. I can't take you anywhere anymore. Stop whining and start behaving before you never go anywhere with Mommy again.
Athena, I know it's hard for you to go shopping with Mommy, but please act like my special Athena and talk nicely.
Excellent. First of all, we can't clap. We'll clap later. Go.
Don't you dare raise your voice, and young lady, you are so hot today.
I feel bad when you talk to me in such a disrespectful tone of voice. I wish I could say
I feel bad when you talk to me in such a disrespectful tone. I feel message is very powerful. You know, you can use it with your husbands and wives too. You're upset, use the I feel message. But go, I have 3 minutes. Continue. No, just go to the next one.
This is the second time I have to repeat myself. How many times do I have to tell you the same thing over and over again? You never listen to me.
Never. Don't ever use the word never. Don't ever use the word never or always. Nothing is never or always. There's always a second chance. Go.
It hurts me when I have to constantly...
Louder.
It hurts me when I have to constantly repeat myself.
Instead of lengthy lectures.
Go.
I can't believe you're still in taking out the garbage already. It's been here since this morning, and now it's already 6 o'clock at night. The whole kitchen now stinks from yesterday's supper. It's unbelievable. I can't ask you to do anything.
Stop it. Don't forget the garbage.
Right. Rashi. We got to learn from Rashi. Did Rashi have one extra word? We need Sifte to explain this Rashi. Speak succinctly to your children. The minute for teenagers, I didn't even get into it. The minute you start speaking too long, they tune you out. Next.
Javi, get into the shower already. There are 5 other people who need to get ready for Shabbos, and here you are taking your sweet merry time. Last week, you have to take a shower 10 minutes before Shabbos because you took so long to get in.
Javi, please go shower.
Okay, do you get my drift?
Yes.
Speak succinctly. Speak, is there anything else?
No, just this.
Okay, don't, just sit there. Fine, thank you. Clap, let's see the toast. A perfect toast. Thank you, I'll announce you later. Okay. Okay, so the best insurance policy we have in life against drugs, problems, is the love we show our children. Do not be cheap on your hugs and kisses. Do not be cheap. Be generous. The more generous you are, the more confident and the more loving. The love you give, I'm telling you, building an emotional bank, the more Derech Eretz they'll have for you. The best thing I can tell you, when people say, how do I punish my child? I want to say, don't ever have to punish them. I'm serious. If you do these techniques, you won't have to punish them. Because their ego will be so well developed, they won't need to be punished. They're going to want to please you. You're going to develop them into people that are going to want to do what you want because they love you so dearly, right? So I think that's the best insurance you have. And I think that a lack of self-confidence... All right, I'm not sorry. Let me just... I want to finish with my Almana story, okay? This story I have to tell you and that's it. I do a lot of Shalom Bayis workshops. Right now, I stopped doing parenting workshops because a lot of people are doing it and I don't feel they need me to do it as well. So I jumped to Shalom Bayis because I specialize really in Shalom Bayis. And I want to tell you just one story on Shalom Bayis, even though this is a parenting lecture, because this story will touch your heart in a way that you will never forget it. Okay, it must have been 20 years ago. I will never forget this story. A young 26-year-old girl comes into my office for one session. And she says to me, Dr. Respler, I am getting remarried. I have 3 children. My husband, unfortunately, passed away to Yena Machla. I'm not, you know, we don't say the disease. And I'm marrying a person that also his wife passed away to the same disease, and he has 3 children. And I'm going to try to love him, and we're going to try to build a bias Neman Bisrael together. And I hope we'll be successful. He's a very nice person. But I have one regret. And I said, what's that regret? She said, I love my husband with all my heart, my first husband. And every time I would see his shoes in the living room, I would scream at him, why don't you put your shoes away? I would give anything to see those shoes right now. And I started crying. And let me tell you, she had more influence on me than I had on her. Because whenever I see something that bothers me about my husband, even though he's perfect, he does things that are wrong sometimes too, like all husbands. I look at it, Baruch Hashem, I have a husband. Baruch Hashem, one woman in my workshop said she got married older, and every time she would clean the crumbs up that her husband left, she would say, Baruch Hashem, I have crumbs to clean up for my husband. And I think it's a very important story. When your child makes a mess, I know there are people who are chalshing to have children and can't have children. Say to yourself, Baruch Hashem, I have children. I always tell people, toys are not a mess. Toys are not a mess. Toys are not dirt. Dirt has to be cleaned. But toys shows chayus. Toys shows life. Toys shows that there are children in the family. You want to get them to straighten up the toys? Don't scream at them. Do it with them. If you watch my DVD, you'll see how much they're cleaning up toys. People call it the cleanup DVD. Okay. I will tell you at the end, I just want to finish by telling you, hug and kiss your children as much as possible. Put money into the emotional bank. Give them as much love as you can. And the more you're going to hug and kiss them and build their self-confidence and build their self-esteem, you are going to raise the most amazing children. Hatzlacha in raising your children. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.